This is Hamish and Gabby. Catch up.
Tell us something we don't know.
This is where we love to learn and you get to teach us. And if you do so, you can win yourself a movie pass thanks to BCC Cinemas.
Yep.
So it can be any random fact that's floating around in your brain, or it could be a random fact that you've just Googled. We don't care.
Nope.
As long as you tell us something we don't know. For instance, here's a little fact for you, Hamish.
Yep.
Did you know that in Harry Potter and the Philosopher's Stone, Harry never actually casts a single spell?
Is that right?
Not one.
I did not know that.
I didn't know that either, and I'm a big Harry Potter fan.
Stepping away from the movie side of factness, did you know that it's impossible to sneeze with your eyes open?
I did know that.
There was a rumour when I was a kid.
Yeah.
It used to get around that if you did sneeze with your eyes open,
your eyes would pop out. But that is an actual thing.
Is it?
They don't, like, detach because they're pretty well strapped in with all your nerves and stuff.
Is that the technical word?
Yes, they're strapped in.
Yeah.
But they can pop, like they bulge.
Ooh,
so they like come out of the socket a little bit.
That's not right.
So don't try it at home.
All right. Well, it doesn't matter what your fact is. We want to know about it. If we learn something, you win something. That's the basics of this game.
Pretty
so get your trivia, get it through to us right now for your chance to win a movie pass thanks to BCC Cinemas. The number to call, 13 12 16. Jake, the floor is yours. Tell us something we don't know.
Did you know if you put a fly in water and shake it around with the lid on, and then take it drowns, and then you take the lid off, and then cover just enough to get salt and just enough to cover the fly, if you take the lid off, it'll come back to life.
Okay. So is this a scientific fact or is this something that you have done through experimentation on flies?
Scientific fact.
So you put a fly in a glass of water, you cover it up, you shake it around and get a bit, it drowns, then you cover the fly in what? Salt.
Yeah.
Salt.
And the fly will come back to life.
Yeah.
That is an odd fact.
And it's not something that we can test anytime real soon.
Well, I don't really want to. It's a bit cruel, isn't it?
Yes. I was just thinking it was too much effort, but you go on your cruelty to flies bandwagon. After you've finished picketing more team. All right, Jake, you have told us something we don't know. So congratulations there. You've got yourself a movie pass. Well done. We'll move across now. To Amanda. Amanda, tell us something we don't know.
In Australia, crime scenes, outdoor crime scenes, have been compromised by the fingerprints of koala bears because they're very similar to human being fingerprints.
You know what? That is a fact that I didn't know. However, the fact you called it a koala bear, I think this is a null and void fact.
Oh, come on. Come on.
They're not bears!
No, okay, that's fine, but it's not about that. It's more about the fingerprints being very similar to
well,
it.
I didn't know a koala marsupial had fingerprints. See, we've both learned something here. It's a win-win.
Can I just say, Amanda, I'm going to apologise for Gab. She's just come in with an attitude over the last couple of days, which...
No, I'm very passionate about the fact that koalas aren't bears, though.
Yeah.
Right, and I guess I spent probably 7 years in the US, and that's where I did a lot of my medical training, and that's what they call them.
They do, the US call them that, and that's why I'm passionate about it, because we do need to
cut that out. Fair.
But no, that's fair, all right.
And as soon as a koala puts up his hand and says, you know what, stop calling me a koala bear, then we should have an issue with it too.
Hasn't a koala done that to you yet?
No, he hasn't. I don't want a koala putting his hand up anywhere near me. To be honest, they need to trim their fingernails first. Amanda, congratulations. You're a winner also.
It's time for a pup date.
Puppy Bear is pretty cute, but he's only 2 kilos. So he's quite a tiny little puppy. Mm. And he sleeps in a pen at night.
Yeah, right.
So the pen is next to the bed. I never wanted him on the bed because he is only 2 kilos and I'd roll over and squish him. So he sleeps next to the bed.
And also the fact that, you know, it's not a great idea to have your dog sleeping with you.
I think it's fine. If it's not 2 kilos and you're not going to squish him, I think it'd be totally fine. He would be up on the bed.
My sister and her partner have an Alsatian, a German Shepherd.
Yeah, cute.
And he sleeps with them in their
bed.
That's
nice.
No, it's not.
It is.
No,
it's very nice.
No.
Anyway, he sleeps next to the bed. And the pen doesn't have the roof on. It's like a detachable roof because he needs to be able to see me and see that I'm there. Otherwise, he gets really anxious. So he sleeps in the pen with no roof.
This is your own
and
doing.
I didn't think that he could get out of it because he's only little and he can like scratch on the side if he needs to go to the toilet or he wants to get up.
Yeah.
And I let him out. Mm-hmm. But he's never been able to get himself out of pen. The other night, he got himself out twice. Mm-hmm. Turns out when he's got the right kind of motivation, he can climb that pen.
Oh, really?
Like you wouldn't believe. He gets his front paws hooked over, uses his back claws to like run his way up the wall and jumps out.
He's doing puppy parkour.
Exactly. Well done. And the motivation for which encourages him to do so is interesting.
Right.
Because the first thing was he thought there was an intruder.
Yeah, so he's
my
trying to
boyfriend,
get under the bed.
He was barking, trying to get out to see who was getting in the front door.
Because
my boyfriend was coming home late from a boys' night out.
Yep.
And he heard someone at the front door, and Puppy Bear was just like, "Who is that?" And he climbed out and ran straight to the door to find out who it was.
Yeah.
And I was like, good on you, mate. Protecting me. I love it. Like, when you need to to show some fire, you can do it.
Yeah.
Good on you. And so calmed him down, put him back to bed, and all was good. Mm. Next minute, he heard the microwave go and smelt a bit of pizza.
There we go.
And he was out again. Like, I'm not even kidding you.
Yeah.
He was out quicker for the pizza than he was for the intruder.
Well, maybe for the intruder, he thought it was a pizza delivery.
Maybe.
Well, is that Domino's? I think that might be Domino's.
Go! Oh,
no. I'm out. Gotta get that first slice.
And he's never climbed the bed ever in his life, and he hasn't done it since. He'll scratch to get out every other time, but if there's pizza involved, watch out, he'll be there.
Well, you know what? He's not alone. There's a lot of people that would do that quite happily.
He is his mummy's dog. His mummy's dog, his mummy's son. Either way.
Okay, don't refer to your dog as a child.
Now listen, kids say.
Okay, time for another quick round of stuff kids say, because it got to bedtime last night and something went drastically wrong with the bedtime procedure.
Do you have a routine you follow normally?
Yeah, we try.
Night?
Look, at the moment, the boys obviously are. We try and put the boys in their separate beds. They end up either combining into the one bed and sort of they just sleep together because they chat for a little
That's
bit.
That's nice.
Yeah, it's good, actually. They get on really well as brothers, which is great.
Yeah.
Sometimes we're all in the bed together. And that is just a massive pain.
It sounds nice in theory, but when it actually happens,
once in a blue
not so
moon,
comfortable.
Once in a blue moon, it's okay. Yeah. But when it happens way, way too often, you're just like, okay, enough of this.
I'm so sick of little feet kicking me in the head.
Exactly. Anyway, we're all pretty much in bed together at this in this instance. And we were saying our goodnights, you know. And I threw the goodnights out to each of the members of my family. Mm-hmm. And this is what I got the first time around.
Night-night, Addie. Night-night, Sammy. Night-night, Mummy.
Night-night, Poo-Poo Face.
Night-night, Poo-Poo Face.
That's nice.
I'm like, okay, well, look, clearly a mistake. He's trying to be funny or whatever. I'll give it another go. So I threw it out again.
Night-night, Addie. Night-night, Sammy. Night-night, Mummy.
Night-night, Daddy. Nana
poo-poo face. Okay, so Adam clearly not picking up what I'm putting down, which is I just want a classic good night, Dad, would be nice.
I just want to go to sleep knowing that I'm loved.
Yeah, exactly.
Is it too much to ask?
So I then, you know, spent some time saying, Adam, look, okay, that was funny the first time, not so funny anymore, so just a classic good night would be nice.
Just
be nice to your father. That'd be really, really good. And he was like, yes, Dad, that's fine. Let's do it one more time. So we did it one more time.
Nana, Addie. Night-night, Sammy. Night-night, Mummy.
Night-night,
Daddy. Thanks, Sammy. Night-night, Adam.
Night-night, Poo-Poo Face.
I love him.
Night-night, Poo-Poo Face.
There is no telling him what to do.
Nope.
He has a mind of his own. That
My name is Adam. I do what I want. Poo-Poo Face.
Getting someone's name wrong can be extremely embarrassing, especially if you're dating said someone. And that's what happened on Bachelor in Paradise last night. So, Lorena, you'd know her from the Blake Garvey Bachelor season, and she was the dirty street pie girl.
Yeah.
Very high expectations, very beautiful lady.
Mm.
Her name is Lorena.
Mm-hmm.
And she's been spending a lot of time with Blake, who was on the Sophie Monk Bachelorette.
Yes.
And they've been practically dating. Like, they've been inseparable for days.
Right.
So you would think that he would know her name, but this is what happened in the rose ceremony last night.
I know that Blake is giving me his rose, and I'm happy to accept it. I just want to take time getting to know him, and I'm excited, and I've got a little bit of anticipation as to what's coming with Blake.
Lenora.
Lorena.
Oh, my God.
Blake genuinely has no idea what my name is.
Hilarious.
I think that is so funny. Days they've been spending together, and he calls her Lenora, instead of Lorena.
Hilarious.
But I think we've all been there where we've had our name pronounced wrong or
just
completely differently.
I backpacked through the States for a little bit, and for some reason they could not say Hamish. So,
weird.
It was weird. They came up with so many different, even Seamus at one point. And I'm like, I think that's me. I don't know. So it's got a Seamus here somewhere. Nope, that's me. Okay. At one point, I changed my name to Steve.
Just easier.
Yeah.
Well, I used to sit on reception back at an old job, and I answered the phone one day and I said, "Hello, Gabby speaking." And the guy on the other end went, "Hello, Cabbage."
Cabbage.
I was like, what? Yeah. Where did you get that from?
Unbelievable.
So 13, 12, 16, when have you been called by the wrong name or, you know, just the wrong pronunciation of said name? It could just be slightly different, or it could be completely off the radar.
We'd love to hear from you. 13, 12, 16. And we have somebody on the line right now. I'm going to go with Ara Lewin. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct.
Yay! Hey. Yeah. So, I'm guessing people get your name wrong a lot.
Yeah, they do, yeah.
And what are the other options that people have thrown at you?
So I get Alvin, I get Ara Luna, I get so many different variations, it's crazy, but it's pronounced phonetically, so it's pretty easy to pronounce, really, it's just pronounced the way it's spelled, so yeah, but I think Ara Luna is probably the best one, like, yeah, I get that a lot.
I don't mind Ara Luna. I think that sounds like a really pretty name. Are you ever offended when people get it wrong?
I used to be, so I just go by Lou all the time now. Like, I just introduce myself as Lou. I don't even bother with Ara Lewin anymore. I just go by Lou.
Yeah, I think at some point in your life, you just go, you know what, this is too hard to explain to people every single time, so I'll go with a shorter option.
I love your name, though. I think it's beautiful. So I think you should stick to it and just make sure everyone gets it right.
Well, thank you very much for the call, Lou.
Thank you.
And now we have Tiana on 13, 12, 16. What happens with your name?
Well, my name's Tiana, and everyone happens to call me Tiana or Tiani. There's so many different names that I get called. I end up just introducing myself as T now so people don't mess it up.
Yeah.
I feel like that's a common thing where people just get so sick of explaining the pronunciation of their name that they just go with a nickname.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. Like, I literally just introduce myself as T. I don't even say my real name anymore.
Yeah, I mean, it beats the alternative of slapping people in the face when they get it wrong.
That's exactly right.
You know,
there's so many awkward conversations.
Just doing
no,
do it again. No, do it again.
Okay, we do not condone that behaviour, Hamish. If someone gets it wrong, you just politely explain it.
And then slap them in the face. That I have an unnatural obsession with something at the moment, and I feel like me actually knowing that I have this obsession is taking a step forward into fixing said obsession.
Well, step one is to acknowledge you have a problem.
Yeah, well, I do have a problem, and it's with lawn, which is weird. There's a patch, a patch of lawn that I am just obsessed with at my house at the moment because for years, ever since moving into the house, my dogs have been digging up this particular part of the lawn and lying in it. They love lying in the dirt.
It's nice and cool,
yeah. It's cool for them. But I'm like, it's right straight out from the back door. I'm like, there's plenty of other spaces in the garden where you can lie that I don't care about. Don't do it straight out from the back door. Anyway, they wouldn't listen to me, so
I wonder why.
I decided to, and I've tried grabbing turf, you know, from the hardware store and all that kind of stuff, as in pre-grown turf and putting that in, but the dogs will just rip that up. I've gone with lawn seed this time, and I've had to water it a couple of times every day, and this is what has kicked off my obsession.
Right.
Because a couple of times every day I'm out there making sure that the water dispersion is even across all the seeds. I had a problem with ants taking away my seeds at one point, so I put out some ant dust and made sure that that's all, you know, good. I've really obsessed over this lawn. And this patch of lawn has grown and it looks great. It is a full, if it was a head of hair, you would say, what a magnificent hairstyle you have. I make sure that the lawn doesn't get cut too short. I know, I'm obsessed.
This is getting ridiculous.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. I'm obsessed with it. I literally would get out there with a rake and give it a side part at this point in time. Give it a magnificent do because I'm loving this patch of lawn.
The side part's not in. It's not in fashion at the moment.
Oh, what should I be giving it?
Just a mohawk.
I'm not going to give it a mohawk because that means I have to shave the sides of it short.
Okay.
I'm not at that stage yet, but want to know what do I do, Gab?
Well, you know, I understand the obsession because the more effort you put into something, the more love and care that you want to get out of it.
Yeah.
So if it's doing well, you're going to be proud of it.
It's getting to a stage where I shout at my kids if they put a foot on this piece of lawn. Like, get off the lawn!
Oh, that my God, kind of stuff. You're turning into a cranky old man.
I am. I think I'm already there.
I think you're already there. I don't know. I don't know if you can be saved. I think you've passed the point of no return.
Have I? Well, that's disappointing. It's I was a hoping bit of an I issue. Could turn back. And I think it comes from the fact that I can grow, there was a bald patch in the lawn, and I've fixed that bald patch, and I can't fix my own bald patch. Therefore, that's where it comes from. I think it's magnificent.
This is getting a little bit crazy. So instead of fixing your head, you've fixed the lawn.
I have.
And now that's your compensation for the fact
if I could grow lawn seed on my head, I would do it. To be honest.
Give it a go. I wouldn't mind seeing it. You know how you used to have grass heads as a kid and you like style their hair and stuff?
We should give it a go. See what happens.
Really interesting story coming out of Sydney yesterday of a guy being charged with theft because he took the wrong order from drive-thru at McDonald's.
Yes.
So this guy, he's a local businessman, and he went to drive-thru for his and his daughter's dinners.
Yep.
And he ordered, you know, two large chips, two double cheeseburgers, some nuggets and two frozen Cokes. Paid for cash, got to the next window, got his bag of food, got home and realised they'd actually given him the wrong order.
Right.
And his daughter was pretty annoyed that she didn't get her nuggets, but he was like, oh, way too much effort to go back. Mm. We just eat what we get.
Yep.
And that's what they did. 2 hours later, some police came knocking on the door because McDonald's had called the cops to say this guy had run off with food he hadn't paid for, and they were charging him with theft.
Oh, wow.
It was a $300 fine that they were threatening him with, and he was just like, well, actually, I ordered and paid for a whole stack of food that I didn't get. This is what I got instead.
Yep.
It was pretty equal value, so I just didn't bother going back because it's a lot of effort. They gave me the wrong order. I feel like this is their problem, and they actually did drop the charges. They let him off this time around. But it's an interesting concept, isn't it? Because who is at fault here?
Yeah.
Because when it comes down to it in drive-thru, they've got a lot of ways where they can make sure they're giving the right order to the right people.
Yeah, that's right.
In this day and age, back a few years, they didn't have those
strategies.
You know, the cameras and the strategies in order to make sure they were doing the right thing. So it's human error here, which always happens in every job. And I totally understand
I would say the drive-thru would be, especially at dinner time, it would be
busy.
Very busy.
Very busy.
Mistakes happen.
Totally. Mistakes happen. I totally get that. And they've given the wrong order. It happens. Whatever. But is it really such a terrible thing they need to call the cops for it?
I don't know.
And the police are like, well, maybe you should have taken it back if you got the wrong order. He's like, but like, that's a lot of effort. The reason I did drive-thru is because it's minimal effort.
Yeah, that's right.
Why would I then want to go back?
I think the important lesson here is you've got to check the bag before you leave. Like, before you drive away from that window, you do a cursory, open up the bag. We've all done it. I've been given the wrong order before.
Yeah.
And I've done the same as this guy. I got home and, you know, I've even had a cheeseburger with no meat patty in it.
Ooh,
and
that's weird.
Yeah, it's weird. And you go, oh, you know, okay, that's my fault. I should have checked the bag. You just got to check the bag as soon as you can.
I always feel pressure, though, because especially when it's busy or it's dinner time or whatever and there's a lineup behind you, I feel pressure just to grab my bag and go so I'm not holding up the line.
Okay, you've got to think to yourself.
I never check the bag.
You have to think to yourself as you're doing that, do I want to enjoy the meal that I have ordered or do I want to inconvenience the person behind? All right.
So in other words, do I want to be selfish and sit here and make sure my stuff's all good and make everyone else wait?
Yep.
Or do I drive away, be disappointed, but everyone else is happy?
Yeah.
Are you putting yourself first or other people? That's the question.
Well, when it comes to the drive-thru, you've got to put yourself first. All right.
Lesson we've learned.
It's not a moral dilemma to worry about. It's like an extra 30 seconds. I'm sure the people behind will be fine. All right.
They might die of starvation. You don't know, Hamish.
Well, you don't know, but I'm pretty sure that would be okay.
This is Hamish and Gabby. Catch up.